Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants, brought to you by Cheesehead TV, with your hosts, Corey Behnke and Aaron Nagler. Today's show, November 26th, 2007, is a look at the Thanksgiving feast that was the Detroit Lions, and of course, a close inspection of the upcoming game against the Cowboys. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Packer Transplants.
With Johnson and Williams, single receiver to the left side, McDonald. Press coverage on the corners for Green Bay and third down, getting the back of the ball. He's hit and sacked back outside the 25-yard line.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you
two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I'm Aaron.
And this is Corey.
And today we'll revisit the Lions game that all but clinched the division for the Pack, talk about the injury worries this week, and of course, take a look at the monstrous matchup with the Cowboys, being aired Thursday night on a television network that most people don't have. So let's get started.
Let's start with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
On the good side, we got Mr. Brett Favre.
Always good.
Mr. Ryan Grant.
And
running over people.
And speaking of somebody who's running over people, we got Aaron Campman.
Then
we got him. The bad. We got
Bob Sanders. Why are you calling off the dogs 2 weeks in a row? I'm sick of it.
Tony Moll coming
Tony Moll,
in for the
false
injured
starting,
Mark
holding.
Tauscher.
Tony Moll.
And we got some special teams
magic
going.
We got Mike Stock
on.
And Mike McCarthy. The much feared injury to Charles Woodson happened.
Yeah, Harry Sidney's been calling it.
Been returning punts, and now he's not returning punts.
And
he may
not
do anything else.
You finally got the ugly right. We got Dominic Raiola.
What was that WWF ridiculousness in the tunnel with Nick Barnett? That was ridiculous.
You know, there is one thing I like in the WWF.
What's that? What is that?
I like when they jump off the turnstile and they are amazing.
I like that too when I was like 12.
Yeah, exactly.
That was great.
But you know what I like even better than that?
What's that?
Donald Driver.
Double D!
Okay, I've...
Love me some Double D.
Okay, we've been talking about where is he, blah, 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 blah,
well,
blah, blah, blah.
Well, they've been spreading it around, but he has been conspicuous in his absence lately.
He came to play.
He came to play.
So I got three audio clips, because the national media really doesn't give any love to Donald Driver. Donald Driver love but
Packer
Cheesehead TV?
Hello, come on.
Exactly.
We should.
Exactly. So here is... two clips of audio from the same drive. What did you call it? You had a name for it.
A will imposing drive. Imposing
so
the Packers'
is, so
will.
So this is the second quarter. This is the two plays back to back. We're going to start with a 38-yard catch and then go into a 19-yard catch. That was pretty ridiculous. Here's the first one.
Grant the lone setback. Favre takes the snap. Takes the handoff to Grant, back to throw. Pumps once, wanted to go long. Now looking around, gliding to his left, throws it over the middle. And he's got Driver cutting left, breaks a tackle, 45. Donald Driver inside the Detroit 45, down to the 42-yard line. 38-yard pass play. Favre in the shotgun, Grant to his left. Lions showing blitz with Ernie Sims off the right edge of the defense, left side of the offense. Snap to Favre, looking left. He throws the seam, left side to Driver, and it's caught by Driver in traffic at the 5-yard line. A spectacular catch over the coverage of Keith Smith.
In the fourth quarter, when it's second and eight, you want Donald Driver, and here's why.
Long count by Brett Favre. Lions crowd the line. Favre takes one step drop, gives to Driver on a quick swing left side. Driver making a head fake, dodges two defenders, and gets the first down as he dives to the 41-yard line of the near sidelines.
Driver.
You don't need much more than that.
10 catches, 147 yards.
And I love what you said before. When I first got here, we were talking about it. And you said, you need 8 yards, he'll get you 9.
It's true.
Gotta love some Double D.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even seem like, it's like, oh, that's a weird play for me to use, kind of. But at the same time, it's not.
It shows.
Instead of
exactly
giving it to Ryan Grant when we need a first down, we give it to Donald Driver.
No, we give it to Double D. Or you feed the machine with his big five.
It's true.
I love it. But, you know, coming off of feeding the machine, something that's helping the machine break down a little bit are
injuries.
Some bad injuries.
Yeah, and Donald
week.
Driver was injured in that game.
He was. Although it doesn't seem this week from reading what I've, you know, everything we've read this week that is going to be affecting him this
game. No, and even though Woodson's not practicing, he never practices.
Right. That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. He's not a practicer. He's a player. And he's like Allen Iverson.
And practice. As of this podcast, they still don't know what's wrong with KGB.
No, he's still getting looked at, which is, you know, disconcerting.
And Rouse was almost a candidate for the opening audio with his second pick in two games.
Playmaker off the bench.
I mean, there's sort of a controversy, I would say.
If Rouse is healthy, then, well, although McCarthy came said Collins gets his job back. But if Collins gets his job back and play dips a little bit, we've got ourselves an open controversy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm thinking that this leaves a unique opportunity, especially against Dallas, to run a dime with three safeties.
Now, you were talking about that before, and I think that's an interesting concept.
I mean,
I've seen
it
done.
If Aaron Rouse is okay.
If Aaron Rouse is healthy, why not? You know, I mean, you need as many competent defensive backs as you can get out there.
Speaking of a lot of competent defensive backs, the...
how about those backups coming off the bench?
The depth of the Green Bay Packers.
I gotta tell you.
Showing its head. Maybe we'll see the Packer Shark soon.
Oh, no. I hope you did not go there. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Corey and I have a history. I loved the Packer Shark for its brief stint in Green Bay. Corey hated the Packer Shark.
Nick Barnett almost kept it going.
Oh, he did. He did it last year.
No, I think it was with you.
The Packer Shark is back.
No, it wasn't.
And you were very upset.
It wasn't the Packer Shark.
For those of you who don't remember or don't know,
Nobody cares.
Somebody on the defense would make a play, and they would put their hand up on top of their helmet, and then they would bob their head up and down.
It was
the Packer Shark.
Really terrible.
I loved it. Corey hated it. How about some of these backups? I gotta say, Thanksgiving, I'm sitting down. You know, you're a little distracted at Thanksgiving. The family's over. It's like, no, I don't really care about what happened to little Bobby on his excursion to the city. All right, I just want to watch the game. But
and all of a sudden, you look up and Jason Hunter's chasing John Kitna.
Jason Hunter or Mike Montgomery stopping the run or Walker in the dime.
Well, and Corey Williams is continuing his ascent into playmakerdom.
He really, really is. And the thing is Corey Williams had a great game on the defensive line. Tremont Williams at defensive back.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised.
I was too.
I was really surprised.
Because he's a short guy.
And we saw him, you know, return the punt last week. He's making some plays, but this is the first time from scrimmage where I was like, wow.
I'm excited to see him. You know who else I'm excited who's been returning punts? I read in one of the articles is Will Blackman.
Will Blackman's back, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, he's even a more dangerous threat than Tremont Williams, in my opinion.
Well, we'll see. If he can capture what he had in preseason,
definitely.
Although, I mean, I got to say, Williams and Blackman, it's an embarrassment of riches, so to speak, if Blackman can come back to his previous form.
Well, and you didn't include Jared Bush in that. And I feel like Jared Bush stepped up. I feel like he had an Aaron Rouse type game.
I think he had a good game. I really do. And I know you think I'm ragging on the kid.
Despite blocking Atari Bigby for the interception, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was. And not blocking the guy who needed to be blocked
on the punt return
for Woodson to get
it's
the
like
touchdown.
You blocked the wrong dude on one play, and then you don't
block anybody
the right guy on another play. But he did
have some really good
plays against Calvin Johnson.
I agree.
Everybody's
broke
like,
up a touchdown.
Look,
I agree.
Calvin Johnson. Rookie.
No, Jared Bush had a solid game. I was trying to look at the guys from off the bench who we haven't seen much, you know what I mean, this season so far.
Yeah. I mean, and Tremont Williams saved 4 points for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, big time.
You can take 4 points that should have been on the board, and you can take them off because of Tremont Williams.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tremont. But no, it was an impressive display, and you know, you got to tip your hat to McCarthy coaching these guys up and his staff. You're coaching these kids up. They came off the bench cold as ice, and they played like they were on fire.
You want to talk about cold as ice? I want to talk about 20 for 20.
In a row.
Get out of here.
Mr. Brett Favre.
Are you kidding?
You know what? The best part of that whole record. Okay, maybe not the best part.
And if Tom Brady keeps playing like he's playing, this MVP thing's going to go like a crossroads.
They're coming together.
Because right now,
he only threw one touchdown last night, ladies and gentlemen.
It's true.
Tom Brady is in a slump.
His average just went down.
But I'll say my favorite part of the 20 completions was the fact that it got Lynn Dickey mentioned on national television. I loved Lynn Dickey. And if he had ever had a running game in a defense, he would have been a much more well-regarded quarterback.
It's true.
For the Green Bay Packers. I mean,
unfortunately,
people don't realize a lot of the Packer records that Favre is breaking were all held by Lynn Dickey.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Packers organization was run by morons.
Forrest Gregg and Tom Bratz and ridiculousness.
Oh, no. It was run by people who run a small town and think they could run an NFL team.
Oh, no. Oh, you did not just go there.
It's the truth.
All right.
30 years. I had to grow up with it so I can talk crap about it.
I grew up with it, too. I think we will save that battle for the off season.
For the off season, yeah, when somebody actually might care.
Well, definitely. But speaking of Favre, let's hear what he had to say about his offense and these receivers.
If we can throw one 40 yards and catch it, great. But if you can throw it at the line of scrimmage and get 10, that's outstanding. I mean, that sure makes it a lot easier on the quarterback. So, you know, to me, you weigh, line up an I scheme, an outside zone run play versus you line up in five wide receivers, you throw it to Donald Driver at the line of scrimmage, he's going to get you a guaranteed 5 yards. I go with Donald Driver.
Me too.
Double D! How can you not go with Donald Driver?
I don't know.
From the first snap of the game to the end of the game, all game. Go to Donald Driver. Go five wide. Throw it down the field.
They're going to double Donald Driver.
I think they're going to double everybody. They're going to have like 25 guys on them. They're going to have a contest in the stands. Come double a Packer. It's going to be ridiculous. It's the only way they can stop it.
You're going to see D. Lee.
I'm sorry. They don't have the secondary. They don't have the linebackers. No. They can't stop Big Five. It's just not going to happen. So expect to see a lot of it early. And I want to see a lot of it late. And this is the thing been bugging me the last couple weeks. McCarthy, Sanders, both of them have a tendency. We get up big, third quarter, we're coasting, and then all of a sudden, oh, here comes a team on a comeback.
I hear you. I call what you're talking about nitpicking by Packer fans.
Possibly. Look, until it costs, costs us a game.
It's true.
Until then, you can call it nitpicking. That's fine.
No, it is nitpicking because here's the thing. Right. When you're up by two scores, right?
You
got to find out if that running game that you got is anything, if it's worth its weight and salt. We are the Green Bay Packers. We should be able to, when we want to
be
run
able to
the ball.
Impose our will. I completely agree. However, game after game, we have seen McCarthy hand it over to the offensive line on third and one, third and two, saying, get this yard, get this tough yard. And they have not delivered one time.
Well,
I mean, it's just they don't have the horses
on the
offensive
line. Lucky for them, we're up. And they've got,
exactly.
They'll have lots more opportunities, hopefully.
We're 11 games into the season. I think we've learned all we're going to learn about the offensive line. We know where their strengths are. We know where their weaknesses are. Their strengths are not pounding it in the middle one yard. It's just not. It's a passing down for the Packers from here on out.
I don't disagree with that. I just think that it's not necessarily taking the foot off the gas. And
I understand.
And
I agree
from a defensive standpoint, like look, if you're any team in the NFL, you're going to score some points, okay? And you're going to figure out how
unless
to
you're
do
the Minnesota
it.
Vikings playing at Lambeau Field.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's right. Then you're not going to score any.
Zero.
Zero.
Shut out.
I don't believe we didn't do the chant after that game. Anyway.
We really should have.
We really should have. I can't believe we didn't.
You know
anyway.
What? You know what chant I'm not going to be doing after the game?
What's that?
You know what website I'm not going to be going to after the game?
Which one is that?
IWantNFLNetwork.com.
Oh, don't start.
Oh my gosh.
Of all the... Oh, my...
Look.
Okay, I wrote about this today. I'm not going to talk about it too much tonight, but I want to say my piece. NFL is being ridiculous about this whole NFL Network thing. Big Cable is no better. However,
everybody's
Big Cable happens
ridiculous.
To be right in this instance.
It's true.
So, NFL, get off your high horse. Stop gouging your fans and just get the network and the Sunday ticket on cable, please.
Just get it on everything.
Get it on. The demand is there. People want to see it, and you're keeping
it from them. I'll pay for it on cable.
You know, overwhelming statistical evidence says that people will pay pay-per-view. They'll pay whatever. I use the monstrosity that is DirecTV because I want the Sunday ticket. That proves how badly people will pay to see their team.
Well, I will say one of the positives about having to watch it on the NFL Network and not getting it at my house because I can't get DirecTV because I can't put a satellite on my apartment because I don't own my apartment.
Right.
But I'm going to Blondie's on Thursday night. It's a sports bar on the Upper West Side. I'm going with my buddy Stuart and my buddy Jason, who unfortunately is a Dallas fan.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I'm hoping there's going to be a lot of both. Like, I'm not going to go to Kettle of Fish.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go to... Then it's just Packer fans.
No, because you need a little back and forth.
Yeah.
So
I want the back and forth. And not only do I want the back and forth, but I want to shed the pounds that is my life and my history with the Dallas Cowboys. Because you know what? There's a lot of fat.
There's an extra tire. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of bacon grease just hanging on.
I tell you what,
that.
we got rid of the Denver thing, we got rid of the Kansas City thing, but neither of those really held the emotional weight
no.
that losing at Dallas holds. And, you know what I mean?
And you know, for Favre, it's real. Like,
absolutely.
When he walks into that stadium, he knows nothing but losing.
Exactly. In important games. In big time playoff Huge important games.
That playoff game, and I didn't want to digress again, but no. You know, that playoff game, the second to last one, it was the one before the Carolina beat them. Right. So the year before. Okay. That game, we're sitting in a bar with my dad, and there's like 60 Packer fans, mm-hmm. and this one, this one lady with pancake makeup and like 60 pounds to just like the typical mayonnaise in the trailer park. And you know what? Guess what? She's a Cowboy fan.
Oh, shocker.
Wow.
Cowboys are the best. Y'all need to shut up. Cowboys gonna win.
And I love the South, so it ain't about the South. It's about Texas, and it's about Dallas.
Oh no!
And you know what? You know what Dallas is gonna feel shoved up there. You know what?
They're gonna feel some Big Five.
Yeah, they are.
That's what they're gonna feel. And they only ran it 9 times last week, but I got a feeling we're gonna see a whole lot of it in the first half.
Well, if you listen to
a whole lot,
if you listen to Mike McCarthy, I think he thinks the same thing. Here's what he has to say about it.
I'm not gonna say we couldn't play with multiple wide receivers last year, because I mean we did use that protection, but we have not used that protection in as many different situations. I mean, using the protection is one thing, but to use it in all the different situations that we're using it this year is different. I mean, because obviously normal down distance is different than third down, so you just encounter different problems versus different defenses versus different matchups. So we have the ability this year and the confidence more than anything to use it in every situation.
That's right.
Every time. And they got the confidence.
Third and one, doesn't fourth matter. And eight.
Bring it.
Second and six.
That's what we like. I mean, it doesn't matter. They're spreading them out. They got the confidence. Last year, they had to keep tight ends in the backfield and send two guys out on routes. This year, spread it out. Brett Favre's going to burn you. Bring that blitz. We don't care.
It's true.
It's a beautiful thing.
I
want to see
like
lots
it.
Of it all game.
Yeah, it makes me happy.
I don't want 9 snaps of it. I want like 15 snaps
I just of it. Like the way the defense looks when you're in it.
I know. Right?
That's my favorite part.
The total confusion / what the hell is happening look.
Yeah.
Love that.
I like that.
Love that.
Well, and speaking of what the heck is happening...
Uh-oh.
I have a feeling that's going to be happening when Jason Witten is on the field.
I don't want to.
Who do you put against him? What are we going to do against him?
I'll tell you what we need to do.
The glaring weakness of the Green Bay Packers defense is a good tight end.
Aaron Nagler's solution / suggestion for Bob Sanders.
No, he's not listening to you, though.
I don't care. I'm going to offer it anyway for posterity's sake.
Okay.
What he needs to do is, if we're in our 4-3 base, we need to have the strong side linebacker wherever Witten lines up, smash him in the mouth off the line. Do not let him get a free release one time. Not 5 yards back. They're playing their three linebackers back from the line of scrimmage like they used to. Mm-hmm. They like to. No. Bring that strong side guy down and hit him in the mouth. I don't care if you give up a 5-yard run because of it. I don't care if you lose contain because of it. That's fine. I'll live with the first down because he ran outside. Whatever. Do not let Witten release free. Don't let him into the secondary.
Yeah.
Because then it's over.
He can just pick a spot, release inside.
Worst. We've seen it time and time again this year. And every time they got their 4 base, they spread out the ends, and then they have the linebackers at their set drops. Everyone on the offensive side knows exactly where they're going to be. Yeah. And then they just run the tight end off whatever side the Papinga's on.
I also think that you could get by with for a nickel having a safety on him.
Yeah,
I just think he's that good.
But he's that good, exactly. That's the problem.
What do you mean? Aaron Rouse can cover him.
I hope so, if he plays. I mean, we don't even know if he's going to play.
Nick Collins can cover him.
No, Nick Collins couldn't cover Antonio Gates. I don't know why you think he's going to cover Jason Witten.
That's true.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, and Bigby is just a disaster.
No,
coverage.
It's true.
I mean,
our only we'll hope see. Is Hawk.
Yeah, I mean,
because
Hawk,
we really need
Hawk
Nick Barnett
to have the game of his life
playing the energy level he's playing at, and we need him to make plays.
We need Hawk to just have the game of his life in coverage. I mean, really, if that's what they're gonna, if they're gonna stick with their 4-3 base, that's what Hawk needs to do it.
Well, I think the other matchup is Owens
and Al Harris. Definitely.
I don't think Owens is going to own Al Harris. I think it's going to be a reversal of fortune from the last time that Al Harris played Terrell Owens.
It was a nightmare last time.
Well, and you said it yourself.
Yeah.
Who was the defensive coordinator?
Bob Slowick.
Wait. Who was the safety over the top?
Mark Roman.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
A veritable house of horrors.
Oh.
Courtesy of Mike Sherman's 2004 Packers.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, Al Harris. We should apologize to Al Harris for being having to put up with that.
At the end of that game, like, he made a play on a ball for Owens, and he started talking junk to Owens, and he got almost like a pushing fight match with Owens. And it's like, Al, buddy, he's burned you all day. Just walk away.
True. But that's 3 years ago.
He totally got in Harris's head.
That's 3 years ago.
I agree.
And you know what?
He's a much better defense now.
And he's a much better player right now.
He's a much better player. I agree.
I think he's the best cornerback in the NFL.
I think he's right there. I mean, Bailey got burned for a touchdown again on Sunday. So,
I think he's the best.
I think he's fantastic.
Nobody else gets the kind of highlight footage he does.
I'm just saying.
He's ridiculous.
I'm just saying, anyone expecting Owens to be shut down by Al Harris needs to wake up, because that's not happening. Owens is going to get his. But it's going to be a great game. Thursday night, where are you going to be again? What's the
name
of the
bar?
I'm going to
be at Blondie's.
Blondie's, ladies and gentlemen. Get your free Cheesehead TV mug. And call our podcast line. Give us a call at 646-797-2909. Tell us what you think about the Pack and their chances this year. And that's it for this week's show. So we hope you enjoyed the latest installment of Packer Transplants. Please tell your fellow Packer fans about us and visit us at CheeseheadTV.com.